So we're back here with the sixth episode of the Get Hooked podcast. Can you believe they actually got us to do six episodes already?
Six. I know. It flew by. That's crazy. I guess we've been having too much fun, Dennis.
Yeah, I remember the first one. We were like, oh yeah, we're going to do this remote and we'll probably be back in the office for the next one. Sounds like we're going to be doing a lot of these remote for some time to come, but it's fun. It's a great experience. And we have some special remote guests today. Why don't you tell us a little bit about our guests?
Oh man, I'm so excited. So some of you already know, but we have our very own in-house Shelly Hawkins. She's a associate product manager here at Honk. And some of you know her from before her Honk days. She's been in the industry working with so many tow businesses for over 11 years now. She had some history working on the supply side, and now she just is an amazing advocate for the industry within Honk. So we're so excited to have her on, hear what she has to say. And then also, Renee Jimenez is a 19-year veteran in the industry. He's done everything from sitting in the chair to being at tow shows, working in marketing capacity for Zips. So we're so excited to have the two of them on. And if you don't know, they are a wonderful couple in the industry. And what we're going to be talking about today is just really all about why tow businesses and towers and operators are family, and the value of just building relationships in the industry. And they've just done such a remarkable job of doing that. So I'm excited to hear from them. I'm excited to have them on the show. And I'm looking forward to hearing from the two of them.
Yeah, I think this is going to be fun. We're going to have a nice long conversation about what perspectives are in the towing industry from all different sources, from the operator's perspective, the owner's perspective, the consumer's perspective, and just you know, what are our years of wisdom and experience between Shelly, Renee, myself, and now you as well, Yvonne. You know, we've all had some real serious industry experience under the belt. I mean, Renee's got 19 years. I have another 15. You know, Shelly's got 10. You have a couple now with Honk. There's some really sage advice and wisdom that we're going to be maybe coming out of this and just, you know, having good conversation about family and friends and what a commitment to this industry really means and what kind of commitment that the industry can give back to its workers.
Yeah. Let me tell you guys, I mean, the first time I met Renee and Shelly, it's just been nothing but laughs since we've connected. So I know this show is going to be great today. I'm looking forward to hearing your war stories, Renee's war stories. Shelly probably has a few war stories. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to hearing about the tow shows that they've been to over the years. It's going to be an amazing conversation, guys.
I haven't checked the queue recently. Do you have any war stories? Have you been towed or had a flat tire or needed a jump start or anything in the last 60 days since we've spoken?
Listen, I've been pretty good. Okay. I haven't had my own. It's so funny you say that, because I was actually up in Yosemite this past weekend and we ran out of gas. It wasn't my fault this time, guys, but we did run out of gas and we had to order a service, and I was just all over. I mean, it wasn't a Honk service, but it was someone else's, a three-letter service that we shall not name, but they came and I was just all over it. I'm like, you know, this guy did this and that. And my friend was like, hey, you're pretty critical of this provider. And I was like, well, I have a level of expectation now of quality that, I wouldn't have without working at Honk. So, it was pretty interesting, but that was my worst. I mean, we were up all the way in Yosemite and, you know, there's no gas stations for miles. Probably 20 something plus miles. So that was interesting. But and you know, you still have to show me how to change a tire and do some of these things, because needless to say, the service itself was not up to my expectation after working with Honk. I'm still looking forward to you teaching me how to change this tire. So that might have to be the war story we give you guys, the listeners, on our last episode of the season, give you guys something to laugh about.
And maybe we can update your resume or your title to say expert consumer.
Yes, exactly.
All right, enough intros. Let's bring Shelly and Renee on right now. Shelly, Renee, you guys there with us?
Yes, we are.
We are here.
Welcome to the show. We have some stuff we're going to cover. Renee and I are going to get real deep into some war stories and talk about, you know, our history and really get into the depths of towing here. But let's jump in here, guys.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I cannot wait to hear it. You guys know, first of all, I love Dennis's war story. So the fact that you and Renee are on here, I mean, I'm ready to hear the best, most complex recoveries. Like, I want you guys to not hold back and tell me the craziest things you've ever just experienced on the road. But before we do, I know I have to wait because I'm excited. I want you guys, the listeners, to know a little bit more about Shelly and Renee. So one of you guys can start, but why don't you tell us first steps, how'd you even get started in the towing industry?
I could go first. It was just an amazing opportunity that I had back in, 2009. I was working for a publicly traded company on the corporate sales team. And I felt that I had, you know, you feel like you have this moment where you've arrived and, you know, I'm really doing what I was meant to be doing and just kind of coasting along and doing my thing and loving life. And then a great friend of mine reached out to me and asked me, Shelly, where are you working now? We have an opportunity here and I think you'd be a great fit. So we went out to dinner a couple times. And after that, I interviewed for the position and it was a company called AW Direct that was hiring their first ever sales team. They wanted to give a try for having a small pilot sales team. And so the gal who was doing the interviewing, actually the project manager of this, she chose me for the AW Direct team. There were three other companies they were hiring for. And based on what I told her, as far as loving people and my relationship building and what I had done in the past and my passion that I had just for people, she chose AW Direct for me. And as they say, the rest is history for me. And that's, I'm in my 11th year now in the towing and recovery industry with absolutely no regrets. It has been incredibly amazing.
Every person that I've met that knows Shelly is just blown away by her. And so I feel blessed to be able to work with you and to just hear your experiences and the way you connect people. And you are right. You are a people person in this industry. There are so many people that I've met that just love you. So I'll let Renee go ahead and tell us how he got started too.
I was pretty much born into the industry. My father added the tow truck to the mechanic shop side of the house to help bring in more work to the mechanic shop. Once I was, I mean, even before I had a driver's license, I was out towing. 14, 15 years old, I was towing with a sling truck with J-hooks and back when cars had real bumpers and we were able to tow them that way. Once a few years later, we upgraded to a hydraulic wheel lift, went on from there for the longest time.
We're not going to debate the benefits of hydraulic versus mechanical today, right? It's not a conversation.
Well, no, I think you should, but
being in the industry while that was happening for me is a bonus, knowing what it took to hook up 20, 30 years ago versus now. I mean, it's a breeze now with a self-loader.
What was the unit that you learned on, Renee?
Oh, it was a slide-in bed unit, a Holmes 220 with an electric winch.
Oh, my goodness.
yeah.
Right.
That was a classic.
My back hurts just listening to this story.
many a time that my elbow and knee were in the mud to just placing that J-hook where it needed to be, doing that little crazy chain twist to put it up on the sling the right way.
Dennis is feeling your pain.
I was feeling it right now.
I mean, a lot of that was a little bit before my time. You got a couple of years on me in this in the industry. We won't talk about our actual ages, but Renee, you got a couple years of experience on me. But that was a little bit before my time. But
both of you guys started out family, right? It was family oriented that got you guys both in the industry.
Right. Yeah. My dad still runs a truck a couple nights a week. It is a family oriented business. It's a generational industry. It's these actual tow businesses are handed down, you know, from generation to generation and families keep it going. It really is the last of the really true family operation businesses.
I only know maybe just a handful, like under 10 companies that would be considered corporately owned. What do you guys think? Mm.
Yeah, that's.
I agree.
I would think maybe even less than that. It really, this is a family owned industry. It's a family operated industry. Like Renee just mentioned, you know, he started when, you know, we needed to add trucks to the fleet. That's what happens is, you know, the first people you reach out to when you need help with a business is usually your family.
Here's a pop quiz for everyone. Who can name the towing business that is credited as being the oldest towing company in the entire United States.
I know Shelly can. I can.
I don't know that one either.
So that would be our friends at Cheever's Towing in DeMont, Indiana. And the next runner-up is going to be Burroughs Wrecker Service in Sligo, Kentucky.
Wow.
Mm. How long have they been around?
So Cheever's has been around 7 generations. It's impressive. Crystal Rose's family that owned the business today. And then Casey and Scott Burroughs in Sligo, Kentucky. I believe that they're – I think they're on 5 generations, but they celebrated their 100-year anniversary in 2017. I remember
that's
that.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
That is so awesome. I'd love to get that story of like what, how they trained, what equipment they used, like from day one to what they're doing today. I'm sure it just would be crazy to see that transition from that time. But I wanted to ask Renee that too, because, and you too, Dennis, when you first got started, how did you learn?
It was pretty much riding along with Dad.
Yep.
Watching him hook, facing down, make sure the hook is this way. You put the chain here. No, you're doing it wrong. I heard that a lot.
Yep.
Usually wasn't that calm, but it was okay because you just learn from it. And it was easier for me to hook the one side or the other. It just kept him from walking around the vehicle. It was another way for me to spend more time with Dad. So for me, it was an adventure.
Yeah, it's exactly. I have almost the exact same story. You know, school's out, summertime. You know, you're not sitting around the house doing nothing all day. Get your butt in the truck and come to work. Learn how to do this.
Not to put you guys on blast, because now I just want to know. I love hearing some of the adventures from that first time. If you can recollect a time where you really either had a crazy tow when you were like, oh God, how do I know how to handle this? Or maybe a time when you messed up and you're like, man, that time I did not know what I was doing.
I think we all have a couple of those.
Yeah. One of the first times that my dad challenged me on a recovery, of course, back road, South Texas, dirt road, one lane. The truck was rolled over and he says, I think I can get it rolled over back over on its wheels in 2 pulls. I'm like, no way. It's going to take at least 3 or 4. If I can do it in 2 pulls, you have to pick up all the chains. I'm like, okay, well, guess what? He taught me some stuff and I had to pick up all the chains.
What about you, Dennis?
For me, it had to be probably my first flatbed towing experience. I had learned on a wheel lift. I was probably 18, 19 years old, only running wheel lifts and slings my entire life. Never really needed to get in a flatbed. And sitting there in the office and we got a police call that was right there in the neighborhood where we were on the rotation list. Boss goes, here, they got 2 cars out there. Go take care of it. Jump in the truck, ride over there, a little nervous, shaking a little bit, but you know, how hard could this be?
Not Dennis. No, right. Never seen you nervous.
Pull up on scene. 1 car's in the middle of the intersection. The other one's on the sidewalk inside a laundromat.
What?
Inside.
Inside the laundromat. Not even like on the curb. It was literally inside the building. So now here I am trying to figure out how to load up 2 cars. Which one do I load first? Just standing there in complete panic. If you've ever seen the SpongeBob caveman meme where he's completely that was me. Completely, utterly confused. But happened to be one of the local old timers was passing through and just checking out the scene, and he actually jumped out of his truck and helped me out and showed me the right way to do things, and I will be forever grateful.
Wow. I love that. And you know, that's not the first time on this show we've heard about other operators stopping to help one another out. So I love to hear that. I think that's so cool. I don't think you get that in other industries, really. I mean, you might, but in this one, I keep hearing that a lot. I love it. Now, do you guys still get training in?
Oh, yes. That training and the education never stops. And I actually push for it. I mean, even I don't care if you've been in it for 50 years, I mean, or whatever. I mean, you're always going to learn a better way or a different way to do it that might be safer, or even it's going to save you time from hooking up, especially if you're on the side of the road, on the highway, on the interstate. We have slow down move over laws, but you just want to get off of the side of the road as quickly as possible, as safely as possible. Mm-hmm. So the training, that's where that comes in. Mm-hmm. Whether it be in-house or through an outside company.
I'm starting to build up some rust. It's been a while since I've actually been in a truck on any kind of regular basis. So haven't had some training in a little bit, but there's tons of classes out there, and now probably is the best time to do it. So I should be looking into that more than I should. But I think I mentioned this on our conversation way back when we had Justin Cruz of Wreckmaster on the show. Mm-hmm. I think I had this conversation with Justin. When it comes to training, if you take a class and you take one thing away from that class that you can use in your daily life and use over and over, one thing that really just makes your job a little bit easier and makes you a little bit that much more productive, totally worth the cost of entry.
Agreed.
I agree.
Yeah. Completely. Yeah, 100%.
Retention is going to be, I always say at its low, is about 5 to 10% of what you walk away with, the amount of information that actually soaks in. And you're actually going to use it when the time comes. So, mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
When I go into a training, I look at training like I'm reading a book. Okay. So you're reading a book and there are things that you're going to read in that book you already know. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So those things are reinforced. That's great. Then you are going to also learn new things and you're going to take those away. Fantastic. I didn't know that. This is great. This is fantastic. I love it. And then there may be some things that you may not necessarily agree with because, you know, it's for a different environment or, you know, maybe whatever the case may be, you may not agree with it just the same way as reading a book. That's fine. Let that go and take those new learnings. And then again, for me, back to the relationships, it's all of those relationships that you can build.
Yeah. We were talking the other day and you were telling me this just amazing story about how you and several people pulled together selflessly help one of your clients, one of your previous clients. So if you would just share with us, because I think it's so important for our listeners to hear, like we're really pinpointing on the relationships that are built in this industry, but it's all about the people in the industry working together to keep us all just at a high respectability rate. Like I love every time I hear a story from you, just I love it. So yeah, please. And I think you know which one I'm talking about, right?
I do. Okay, I do. So there was a situation that came up where a towing company was getting ready for their very first inspection on rotation in their city. Never been on rotation before, completely did a different type of business for the towing industry. So they were super excited and they wanted to be prepared. So they called up and they placed their order for all of their accessories that they needed for their trucks well in advance, several weeks in advance. And for some reason, we still don't know to this day, there was a glitch in the system and the order did not ship. So all of a sudden, this person messaged us and they said, you know, I don't know what's going on. My order's not here. I'm not going to pass my inspection just completely at their wit's end. And I get a message from the marketing department, Shelly, can you please call this person? And they were asking me to solve it. Like literally the inspection is in 2 days. It was a Motor Freight order and we couldn't even break it up to get it there in time because it was from Wisconsin all the way to Wilmington, North Carolina. So I sat at my desk before I called the company to just offer my condolences. And I thought, what can I do to help this company? And I immediately thought of my friend Wayne Peters at Wayne's Towing in Wilmington, North Carolina. And I called him on a sale and he said, yes, ma'am, how can I help you today? I said, Wayne, I need your help. He said, what's going on? Tell me, I can help. I said, you know, company so-and-so across the way. Of course I do. And I said, they're getting ready to go into their very first inspection. Here are the things that they've ordered. And for some reason, that order is not there and their inspection is going to be tomorrow. Do you have this on the shelf? I know how much you buy from me and I know what you stock. He said, girl, give them my number. Tell them I'm expecting their call and I have more than enough for their inspection tomorrow. So I call back and I called the company that was in distress, just armed and ready to give this wonderful story that you've got a helper right across the way in your own town. And I was talking to them and they started crying. They were just all out of sorts. And I said, you need to call my friend Wayne. He has everything for you. Dead silence. And they did not have to call Wayne Peters because in that moment, their order showed up at their doorstep.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. But the fact that Wayne was like, oh, I've got it. I whatever you need.
Yeah. Wayne is the man.
And I love that.
I can confidently say that there are so many towing companies out there just like that, that are willing to help. We are in an industry where we're all family and we're willing to help others that are in help. That's what we do every day, that need help rather.
Yeah.
You can't see me, but I'm just sitting here nodding my head, like you can see that I'm nodding my head in agreement.
I feel the vibe, Dennis. I feel the vibe.
Dennis, I'm doing the same thing and I'm sitting.
I love it. I think that's so amazing. And I think we need to hear more stories about that. And I think there's a part of that where, you know, it's just a great story. And I'm sure there's so many people that have the same experience. And it's funny because I got that at one of my very first tow shows that I went to. It was in Ohio. And it was the first time I ever met Shelley. And I didn't meet you, Renee, but I met you because it was at, we'll say it was a fashion show. And Shelley.
I know where you're going.
Y'all, this was a different type of fashion show. And if you are listening to this and you guys know which show that is, I want you to comment below and write this show. And I want you to tell us all about the fashion show and your experience at the quote unquote fashion show. Because there were some things that aren't, look, I will say it was family friendly. It wasn't, because it was a good fashion show.
It was
Shelley
was hosting.
It was at the ladies' luncheon.
So
the ladies' luncheon.
The ladies of the Ohio Tow Show. The TRAO organization.
Oh, you just gave it away. Didn't we just say?
We did. Oh, we did. It's okay.
Stop. So I can't say that?
No, it's okay. So if you're listening now, instead of just saying the name of the show, just give us a shout out and tell us your experience at the show. And if you remember that fashion show for the ladies' luncheon.
I mean, I think everybody's got a Shelley Tow Show story.
They do.
The first time I met Shelley was at the Florida Tow Show in Orlando last year. I think it's the first time we ever met face to face. We were at one of the show after parties, and Shelley walked away to talk to a customer that was trying to buy some synthetic rope.
If you guys have never been to a tow show before, I highly, highly recommend, whenever we get a chance to go back to tow shows, that you attend. I feel like they are, and you guys can back me up if you agree, but I feel like they are integral to this industry and connecting with different companies, different associative companies, finding out more about legislative happenings in the industry, trainings. There's so much rich information and just knowledge to be gained, not to mention every tow show I've been to, people know how to party. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good time that you can pretty much write off as a business expense. So there's always that.
It's the hanging out with people you haven't seen for 6-7 months. Maybe sometimes you haven't seen them since the last show a year ago. And you meet up. You've seen them either on social media or whatever, but you catch up to either family, business, or even just sharing information about your company or what equipment you're updating, something like that.
Especially these days, it's real cool to go, hey, you know, Renee, I saw that recovery you guys did last week or 2 weeks ago that you guys, you know, posted on your YouTube channel, and I saw it on Instagram, and I saw it here. You know, that was a crazy job. What happened with this? And you know, you get to really talk about people's experiences and share that information, which is amazing for this industry, just that sharing wealth of knowledge that we have that we can tell.
Absolutely. Yes. And I think also too, it's allowing towing businesses to really learn the ins and outs of what can keep them afloat in all time. So that's one thing I wanted to ask, because I noticed there's been a lot of different talk, especially about tech. Obviously Honk is a tech company in this industry. But I wanted to ask Renee, what did dispatch look like when you first started towing?
It was my dad with a pager that would get a page from the local police department. It would go off and we'd run out the door, but it was one person answering the phone. There was no cell phones back then. I mean, if you weren't at the office, you were at home. If not, they'd try to get you on the pager. But you know how sometimes the pagers, well, most of you don't know about the pagers.
I remember pagers only because I always wanted one, and I was always too young to have one.
But it was, and even when there was a cellular phone, it was one person answering, getting the information, and that's it. Just, it was something on paper, on a little slip of paper. What do you call it? A post-it note?
What was that transition like? So you have pagers, you got post-it notes, you got calls, you got faxes.
Drivers used to have to keep roll of quarters in the truck because you'd have to get a roll of quarters. Phone. Right. Yes. You have to find a payphone. you'd have to find a payphone, not only to call dispatch and let them know you were clear if the place you were dropping at didn't have a phone you could use, or you'd have to find a payphone if you couldn't find your customer. There was no just calling or texting your customer, say, "Hey, I'm here, come outside." First of all, you had to get out of the truck and go ring somebody's doorbell when you were picking up at their house. But
yes,
if you were picking up at a parking lot or something like that, you'd have to get a good contact number and go find a payphone and call them. And it was a process.
Wow.
And drop off at a company, and it's like, "Well, can I borrow your phone to let them know that I'm on my way back, or if there's any calls,
yep,
or anything to pay?" "Oh no, this is a business phone. Right. You can go use the payphone outside."
Right. There's a payphone on the corner. There's a payphone at the gas station around the block,
yes,
or the bar.
Yes.
Wow.
Why is your tow truck parked outside of a bar? It's the only place that has a working payphone, boss.
That's it.
Sure. No, it's just so crazy to see how far things have come. Do you guys find that there's still companies out there that are still using some of those methods versus what we have today?
There are all different ways of communication, so many different ways of communication. And companies have their level of comfort with the variety of communications that we have to offer today. For those that have launched 100% full into digital with every single piece of communication, it's again going back to training and learning that. And for the folks that are doing the paper invoicing, I know that there are several of those out there that's their comfort level. So yeah, there's all kinds of different levels of how people communicate today, yes, for sure. Yeah.
Now, does it have a huge impact on their business though?
Yes. That once they upgrade to digital or online, they understand how much time was lost, how many man hours was lost in the paperwork, or how much storage that they could have eliminated, even in office space, eliminating paper.
You could throw that old fax machine out the window finally. Stop having to buy $85 toner cartridges for your fax machine just so you can get your motor club dispatches. There's digital dispatch now. They send things right to whatever software you're using. It's easier than ever to operate efficiently with the right tools.
And as a customer, that makes a huge difference on what your customers view. Because if someone pulled up to me and they were like, "Well, let me write this down and let me," I'm looking at them like, "What year is this? Are y'all, how efficient is this business?" Which makes me think, how up to date are they on their training and what, how well they can complete the job as well, which, I mean, one may not have a bearing on the other, but as a consumer, it does, cross the mind. One thing is it's Haunt's real goal is to help a lot of not just our partners, but everyone in this industry transition to a better platform and help them connect more digitally with consumers. So what do we need to do to help our partners do that?
It really is about efficiency. It's about about just shaving that time off. You don't realize how many hours a day are wasted if you answer the phone and write a call down on paper and then manually enter it into the system. You've spent probably a good 2 or 3 minutes there. Now, 2 or 3 minutes doesn't sound like a lot, but times that times 50 jobs a day.
Yes.
Times that by 7 days a week, times that by 365 days a year, the amount of hours spent that you could be using to get to your customer quicker. You can be giving your customer a better experience. Your drivers won't be sitting around as long. It's just all about making things just slightly more efficient at every level. You can really see some really great benefits and some great financial gains to that.
On a personal note, what percentage of us have a smartphone? What percentage of us have a tablet? Or what percentage of us have a laptop? And for those folks in their business that they have a smartphone, they have a tablet, either personally, let's say on the personal level, or they even have a laptop. If they have those things and they may not be present in the business, that's actually the first step, in my opinion, because they've already embraced technology on the personal side. Mm-hmm. So they're ready to take that leap into the business part of it to see those efficiencies, just like Dennis was talking about.
Mm-hmm. Circle back to Renee's mechanical wrecker story. Renee, when was your first experience with a self-loader?
Self-loader. I was doing repo in San Antonio.
This is where it gets good.
This is the story I paid entry for today.
It was me delivering a truck for them, and they saw me operate a rollback, and they're like, "Do you need a job?" And I'm like, I have a job. I'm unloading. They kept asking. They got my phone number and they kept calling me week after week. Do you want to come out? You need to come out to San Antonio. We really got a lot to offer. So once I got into repo, it was full speed ahead. I really, really enjoyed it.
What was the longest time that you had stayed awake in one stretch?
Over 30 hours, for sure. Now, I don't know about alert, but I was awake.
That's not a dramatic surprise. I think we've all had a stretch of those days. It had to be a lot easier repoing those cars with a self-loader than it was to crawl in that mud pit and position yourself to twist that chain up the right way to use that old Ohms, right?
Yes. Yes. The hydraulics and helped a lot.
And that's really what we're talking about in this industry. That's really what we're looking at is just technology in this industry is constantly changing. We see some cool stuff. Renee, I'm sure you've run into this too. I know you've spent some time on the heavy duty side as well. The difference between doing a single lane upright of a tractor trailer with a straight stick versus a rotator.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I'm not saying it's night and day. The rigging is still there, but being able to have that work off the side, towing and recovery, it's all about levers, and you're using that lever to your advantage. And I'm going to go back on the mechanical to hydraulic, and I'm going to compare that to dispatching on paper versus digital. It's that much of a difference to where it's the ease of use and that much advantage to where the dispatcher can click here and drag it over and look where the drivers are at, which one's closer, and send it off within seconds of getting it, within a minute of getting that job versus sitting on it or writing it down and start calling who's where.
And that's really what we try to do here. That's really what our mission is at Honk. We have our fleet clients, our insurance clients. We have all sorts of technology companies that work with us as well. But just the automotive sector wants efficiency.
Fleets technology is the future. 81% of Americans use a smartphone.
You didn't just come up with that on your own, did you?
You know I didn't.
No, I'm pretty sure Jackie snuck that in. We never get to talk about her, but let's give Jackie a quick shout out. Our producer, she's amazing. Yeah,
she's amazing. She's always making sure that we have what we need. You guys know the information. So,
but that's really what we're talking about. We're just talking about that efficiency of just getting things processed faster. If you can take out the time to write down a call and enter it into a system and all that other fun stuff, if you could just get it straight to your phone, if a customer can just pick up their smartphone, 81% of Americans have a smartphone, like Yvonne just told you. If you pick up your smartphone and push a couple of buttons, I can order anything. Literally anything.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, that is really what Honk's real goal is about. You know, our technology platform powers a digital app experience that your business needs to remain competitive, successful, and linked to digitally connected motorists. And that's what you want for your business. I'm sure Shelley can tell you a little bit more about her experience. I mean, with so many different types of towing companies, like you said, there's corporate all the way down to the single, truck business that can benefit from this type of technology.
Absolutely. For sure.
Okay. So before we go any further, I need a war story. I want to hear one from you, Renee, and then one from you, Dennis, either the craziest experience you had or just maybe the most difficult tow that you had to do. I think Dennis shared one about cats one time being in a truck.
Oh, that wasn't my story. That was actually one of our providers was dispatched to a service from one of our clients. It was actually the vehicle was a refrigerated truck that had broken down in the Arizona desert, and it was on its way to a crematory for pets. It was the vehicle was loaded.
Oh no! It was a refrigerated vehicle, and it broke down. And it was loaded. Oh, that's awful. I can't take it. Renee, next. Tell us your story. Quick.
The one that comes to mind is a dump truck rollover off the side of a hill. And this is in north of our home territory, near north of Uvalde, Texas, to where our trucks were facing downhill. And yet the rollover had gone off the side of the hill. So we were fighting so many different angles Our trucks didn't want to stay still for anything. Rollover would have been on flat ground. It would have been nothing. I mean, it would have been one truck. Let's roll it back over. Let's get gone in 45 minutes to an hour once the load had been taken care of. But it being on the side of a hill, two 50-ton wreckers, we couldn't keep them. I mean, gravity was against us in every direction. And uprighting it was only half of the work. We still had to bring it all the way back up the hill on to the roadway. And I know most people say South Texas, no hills, flatlands. We have some hill. Once you get into Uvalde and further north, we have some hills that can be rather drastic. And of course, the South Texas heat did not help. It was just walking back up and down that hill to with rigging, and it was very tiring, and it was a day long event.
Tell me that you were using like 5/8 chain on this.
Oh no, most likely 1/2 inch. I would say,
wow,
maybe one or two round slings, if anything.
Yes,
yeah, just 3/4 wire rope, doubled ups, the 10-inch snatch blocks. I mean,
those things can weigh 50 pounds.
Are there rules? Yeah. Are there rules against, you know, working certain hours? Like, let's say you had a job that maybe took 10 to 15 hours, or is there a rule that you have to stop, or is it because you're typically working for an independent company, you just got to get the job done? You got to work until the job's done.
There's DOT regulations on hours of service that you can spend driving, but when you're out on a recovery, it really is. If you have light and you can work, get it done as quick as you can and get it out of there. You definitely don't want to leave a casualty sitting somewhere overnight if you don't have to.
Definitely.
And most of the time it's under emergency status, to where law enforcement is there and you're clearing the road because you're either trying to prevent any more accidents. If you leave it on the lane, travel lane, there's going to be more accidents there. So yes, it's clearing the roadway to prevent any more accidents.
Yeah. Now, are there anything that's current, any technology that's current or coming that would have made that job easier?
I would say a few things, like synthetic rope, the new lighter alloy snatch blocks with composite shiv wheels, other products from the rim slings, the round slings, all just lighter, but yet just as strong, if not stronger, mm-hmm. equipment, like the synthetic rope. Yeah, most people don't understand how light it really is.
It's a rope. It's not a piece of, you know, wire cable. It's
exactly.
It's rope. You can just drape it over your shoulder and carry it.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I know I asked about that, but it got me thinking, just in general, are there any other upgrades that could take place in the industry as a whole that would that towing businesses could benefit from, not just for difficult jobs, but overall?
I would probably have to say better benefits for drivers, better operator benefit packages, better, you know, 401ks and health insurance and things like that. Yeah. This industry is still, you know, I know a lot of folks are really getting around and starting to offer that. And a lot of folks have been offering it for a while, but really turning this into a career and not just a job, competing with the UPS and FedEx type driver roles on the heavy duty end, competing with the over the road companies that are offering, you know, benefits and all sorts of perks for driving a truck with, where you don't even have to unload in most cases. You know, this is a much different, much more labor intensive industry that still requires driving ability. So being able to really just be competitive with the rest of the driver market and maintaining operators and being able to, you know, offer them like I said, a career as opposed to just a job.
Yeah. You know, that's interesting because I was speaking with a fellow one time at a tow show, and you bring up some great points, Dennis. One of the guys, they were telling me about their drivers and how they make sure that their eyesight is good. And that was something that no one had ever spoken to me about, was the health insurance of their drivers and making sure that they're good. His whole thing was he supplied them with glasses and eye insurance to make sure that they can see well. And if their eyes were starting to go, that was something that was really important to him. And I thought, wow, what a great way to take care of your guys, you know, your team. What a great way to back them up and provide support. So I'm not sure, and you guys could tell me more about that. What ways are companies doing that? Have you guys heard of similar ways that owners are backing up their guys to make sure that they're covered?
So I'll go ahead and give an example. There's a company in the Kansas City area called Santa Fe Towing, and I truly believe, and Renee can testify to this, when they hire a new operator, they're not a driver, they're not a person to fill a seat or sit behind a steering wheel. There is a clear path for these guys and gals in this company for advancement, for leadership. They truly invest in their people, and they know. John and Carrie Kupchan know that when they make their employees into leaders, those are the folks that are going to stay with them. They're going to be loyal to them because they are taken care of, not just with benefits and health insurance, but also they want them to look forward to coming to work. They want their operators to feel they have purpose. Mm-hmm. They want them to understand that they're helping people out there, and they want to be proud of a brand, because these operators and even the folks that work in the office and dispatch, these are brand ambassadors for your company. And over the years, I just heard so many business owners so frustrated with, I can't keep drivers. I can't keep operators. You know, they keep leaving me. And I would challenge them so many times, maybe rethink what you have to offer them. You know, nowadays in 2020, it simply not just is about employment. It's about, you know, help me gain life skills. Help me be a better person. I want to be a leader. I want to grow into a person that can mentor other people. And when mm-hmm. that model is effectively deployed, your business will become so incredibly strong.
Yeah. And Shelley, to your point there about, you know, brand ambassadors, what a lot of people don't realize about this industry is, you know, it's especially like we were just talking about, you know, like Renee just said, it's a lot easier to hook up cars than it ever was. I know the cars are starting to get a little bit more complicated, and there's computerized systems and there's special procedures for a lot of cars. But mm-hmm. generally speaking, it is easier to load and unload a vehicle than it has ever been in this industry.
Yes.
So just, you know, basic towing and recovery and some basic recovery techniques can be taught. Customer service skills and people skills are something that this industry really is I think finally starting to focus on, and really that customer satisfaction element of it has been missing for a long time. You'll hear stories about, you know, folks who have impound businesses. They do nothing but PPI, private property, impound lot towing, and they have amazing Yelp reviews because they treat people like people. They understand that, you know, people are having a difficult time. People don't call a tow truck usually when they're having a great day.
Correct.
No.
So being able to really deal with those kinds of scenarios and run into people and help them out at arguably probably the worst day they're having, at least this week, maybe this month, maybe even this year. It really is a skill that needs to be developed and you can, like I said, you can teach anybody really how to run a truck, but customer service is really the most important, you know, element. And it's something that we take pretty seriously here too. We consistently maintain really high NPS scores and customer satisfaction mm-hmm. scores and things like that. So it's just another thing that we try and focus on here as well at Honk.
I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. The best customer service will always have the best business. You know, I will always go back to the company that gave me a great experience. And for me, you know, cost wouldn't have a thing. I'd pay a little bit more for someone who I knew would take care of me versus that person who doesn't. You know, loyalty, typically, you get loyalty and retention from customers when you treat them better.
It's so incredibly true, Yvonne. And, you know, going back, talking a little bit more about the communication, I really believe this industry is an industry, like you mentioned earlier, of emotion. Most people, especially on the light duty side of towing, consumers, they don't wake up and say, today I'm going to call a tow truck because I'm going to break down. There are mm-hmm. The two largest investments for people normally are going to be the home they live in. Mm-hmm. And then second is going to be their vehicle. And so they have to call a tow company because their vehicle is broken down and their emotions are heightened, and they speak to a dispatcher, and those emotions are then passed on to the dispatcher. And then the dispatcher will contact the driver mm-hmm. with a call, who probably already has like three calls ahead of that one. So it's a huge cycle of emotion. And I want to ask Dennis and Renee, because I think that this could really help our industry. talk a little bit about you guys, how you think that the towing industry can benefit from better communication between the dispatcher and driver, and talk about the struggles you've had in the past and what you see as what can make it better.
That's actually a really great question. I've been on both sides. I've been an operator. I've been a dispatcher. It's difficult to see the other side. And I think everybody should experience, you know, a day in the life of if you're a dispatcher, you should experience a day in the life of your operator. If you're an operator, you should experience a day in the life of your dispatcher. Operators tend to think dispatchers are just, you know, sitting behind a desk, eating snacks and drinking coffee and telling people where to go. Well, guess what? As a dispatcher, I have to worry about not only the call that Renee's on, I have to worry about the call Shelly's on, I have to worry about the call Yvonne's on, and I have to worry about the other six calls I have holding behind that. And I have to manage everyone's expectations, including, you know, the owner of the company, mm-hmm. all the customers waiting, and the different personalities of all the operators I have working for me. So it's always an experience, and to try and maintain a level of professionalism and courtesy and respect when you're speaking to a customer who's having the worst day of their life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you told them you were going to be there in 30 minutes and it's now 35 minutes. And guys, you know, your operator is sitting on the highway behind them, and you're calling them saying, you know, hey, you know, I know you're only 5 minutes away, but what's the traffic looking like over there? Just, you know, give me a real time update of how long you're going to be. You know, I have my GPS open. I see you, but you still need to have that communication so you know what's going on. Number one. And number two, you know, being able to relay that information accurately is tremendous.
Yeah. Nothing feels better than being in contact when you know what's happening. As a consumer, as a customer on the side of the road, you know, I'm looking for that person who's going to be there for me. If you call me and tell me you're going to be there in 20 minutes, you show up in an hour, that, you know, that's going to cause me more stress. But if you call me and you say, I'm going to be there in 20 minutes, you call me back and say, hey, honestly, it looks like it's going to take me a little bit longer. I feel so much more comfortable and respected as a customer that you took the time to keep me informed. It's setting the right expectation, and it makes me feel good. It builds rapport, whether you know, recognize it or not.
And yeah, we're not here trying to, you know, tell people how to run their businesses or anything.
Yeah.
But what we have enough experience in this room right now that we've all seen how things go right and we've seen how they go wrong, and we want to share our knowledge with the industry, number one. And we also kind of want to explain a little bit, you know, how we do things here at Honk, because we are a little bit different from your traditional, you know, quote unquote motor club. You know, we are definitely not in that realm, but we operate within that area as well. So,
but allowing you to do, you know, everything you need to through the app, I think is important as well.
Right. Yeah.
That's something that, yeah.
That's one of the big things we do here. We try and facilitate that communication, not only between the operator and the customer, but also between the dispatcher and the driver as well. We facilitate that communication through our apps. We have, we have protections involved where if you call a customer, they don't have to have your driver's number. They'll get a mass number. So you don't have to worry about, you know, customers calling your drivers afterwards, trying to get them to do stuff on the side and things like that. So we're always trying to make those little automated improvements to fix things and make things a little bit better and make communication better. So that way everybody involved knows what the expectations are.
Renee, how has automation affected what you've done when you were driving and when you were actually doing jobs? How has that affected those jobs for you?
I think in that fact, it has not only shaved off time completing the job and turning in my invoice. Because once I'm done with the job, I hit click, click, enter, and I'm done. I'm off to the next job. I don't have to have a little piece of paper that eventually has to go back to the office.
Mm-hmm. That you leave in your truck
my dog sat on it. There's mud. And it flew into the floorboard, and I stepped on it with mud.
Your Dr. Pepper spilled on it.
No, whoever start with my Dr. Pepper.
Whoever's doing the accounting is calling you. Where the hell is this bill from 3 weeks ago? Why isn't it on my desk yet? And it's like underneath your seat, all covered in grease and like.
And when you are completely physically and mentally exhausted, do you really think through all of those invoices that need to be turned in? How many do you forget? And how many pieces of information do you forget if you're an operator and also if you're a business owner? A lot.
Yeah.
So efficiencies is where it's really, like you said, shaving off the time, making everything more efficient. How can we do this faster, better, safer?
Our guests today are not just special haunt guests. They are special in their own right because I've attended the Shelly and Renee show on Facebook a few times. So I'm looking for, okay, when's the next episode, guys?
It's a surprise. We'll drop it.
Just like the first time the Shelly and Renee show happened, it was a surprise to me. I saw his post on Facebook and I go, apparently there's going to be a big announcement.
And from that announcement, I decided that Renee's nickname should be Babyface. So you guys have to go and watch the show.
When he shaved. Yeah, for sure.
You guys have to go and watch their shows. It was great. It was definitely a surprise to see what was underneath the beard.
We have our very own towing industry influencers here.
We do. Yeah. You guys should take this thing on the road, which you do.
On the road. Don't you follow them on Instagram? They're on the road every day.
Yeah. We're on the road.
We'll be often in Madison, Wisconsin over the weekend.
That's so losing
tow trucks. Yeah.
Royalty right here.
I don't think this is going to be able to be released before the weekend, but just in case, if you're in Madison, Wisconsin, go find Shelly. Go find Renee.
And
They're always doing some cool stuff too. They're always eating really well.
They are, right?
He lets me drag, and I'll say drag, but he's not kicking and streaming. But I sent him a text today and I said, Renee, do you want to have the paella that we ate at the Spanish restaurant in Madison again Friday night? Yes.
And she's talking about Spanish food, big old platter.
Yes. That sounds good.
And it's like
feeds 16 people.
Muscles and
exactly.
For sure.
Wait, so really good stuff, guys. Before we let you guys go, because I always wanted to know this story, and I'm sure other inquiring minds want to know, how did you guys meet?
It is a fantastic story. We'll give you the abbreviated version. So when I said earlier, I started my career with
the PG version, actually.
Of course. I started my career with AW Direct. And in the very beginning, this is 2009, the three of us, we were given a territory. And so one of the accounts that I was given to give a call to and become their account rep at AW was Tavos Towing in Crystal City, Texas. And I called him a few times and there was no response. So I was ready to go on to the next one and take them out of my base of customers. And then I actually took a sidestep and worked for a sister company for a couple months. And when I came back, they all of a sudden had started purchasing again. And what I didn't know is at the time they were focused on the transport industry. That's a conversation for another day. Cool. And they had just really launched full time into the towing industry, and they had started purchasing things to outfit their tow trucks. And when I finally talked to Renee, it was a pretty lengthy conversation because he was on his way to San Antonio, Texas. And
What was I doing? Why was I headed to San Antonio?
I said, "Why are you going to San Antonio, Renee?" And he said, he was kind of stuttering and he didn't want to tell me why he was going there. He said, I'm going to go to a rigging house called Kennedy Wire Rope and I'm going to pick up some rigging there and I'm going to have a really good meal and I'm going to go back home. And I said, so how long does it take you to get to San Antonio?
About 2 hours.
And how long does it take you to get back from San Antonio?
A lot more because I take the long way home.
Exactly. I said, so I think that I'm talking to a man that is really exhausted and wants to go on a long trip and be left alone, especially by the dispatcher.
Yeah.
And he said, absolutely. And it was just a friendship that developed. We very much had a friendship first before we started dating. And I think that that's one of the keys to the success of our relationship.
Correct.
Is we built that friendship. We found all these things that we had in common. And at the core is the passion for not only the towing industry, but for the passion of the people. Renee will say often that we collect people. And we do. We love people. And if you know us and if you've talked to us in the last week or so, we say that to you guys and girls out there. We love you. We genuinely do. So.
And knowing a beautiful female that knows the difference from a 9055 to a V100. Yeah.
We will argue about recovery techniques. We will argue about the model record that is. And I'll say it's an 1150, and he'll say, no, it's a 1075. I'm like, no, it isn't, because the winches on the mains are smaller than the 1075. And he gets upset because I know, or vice versa. We've been challenged before, and people are like, is that all you talk about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rigging. We'll get sent a picture. Hey, this is what I did over a recovery I had over the weekend. And we're looking at the recovery, and then somebody walks behind us. It's like, y'all are looking at a picture of tow trucks. I'm like, oh, yeah. What do you do on your off time?
Listen, a match made in tow heaven. For all right. Real.
one last question, Shelly and Renee. I want separate answers for this. I don't need a joint answer. Renee is allowed to have his own opinion here. I promise. What is one piece of advice you would give to tow truck business owners today?
For me, it would be make it a choice and a purpose to invest in your drivers. And it doesn't have to be this gigantic, daunting task. It could be something as simple as, hey, we are going to read this business book together. We're going to read this, you know, small, profound book, and we're going to discuss it, you know, at the beginning of every Friday morning meeting. We're going to talk about it. When your operators, when your family, when your dispatchers can see that you as an owner really take interest in developing you as a person into a leader and a knowledgeable rigger and a well thought out communicator, that is what creates that cohesive knitting together of a community of people for a towing company. That is what people will want to stay there. Yes, it's about the benefits. Yes, it's about all these other things, but it's more about creating a community of like-minded people that really sync together and they understand each other just all the time. That's my advice.
Love it. That's fantastic. Yeah. How about you, Renee?
My, in a short version, which I don't have, is be the positive influence that this industry needs. Mm-hmm. Even if you're the owner or you're an operator, wear that clean uniform. Tuck in your shirt. Wipe off your boots from the wreck from last night, or clean off that mud from that recovery that you just did for the next. I mean, or change out your boots if you have to. I mean, be the clean cut operator that you were trained to be or that you aspire to be, and let's bring this industry. Let's pick it up where it needs to be, where it is. I know it is, but everybody that you think of a tow operator or ask a consumer about a tow operator, and they're thinking a greasy, nasty, scruffy guy smoking a cigar in his dirty truck that with a dirty interior.
Right.
You know what? It's not that anymore. Now we're driving around and very expensive piece of equipment that maybe are 1 or 2 years old with shiny chrome and shiny lights, bright lights. And we are that. And that's what I want for this industry.
All right. It's not all tomater and overalls anymore.
Correct. It's about the professionalism for sure.
Yeah. Guys, we love it so much. Thank you so much for that bit of advice. To our listeners out there, we definitely want to hear from you, hear your stories and experiences. So please feel free to follow us, subscribe. If you have any questions or things you want to tell Shelly and Renee, please feel free to comment, give them a shout out.
What a show that was. Wow. Renee, Shelly, thanks again. We really love having you guys on. This has been really fun. Just, you know, swapping stories, hanging out. This is really what is the best part of the industry, in my opinion, is just this openness to collaborate and communicate and listen to new ideas. And this is what I miss about tow shows too, is really hanging out with people that may have a different perspective, but have also been in the thick of it just like you have.
Oh, absolutely, guys. I mean, that was just so fun to hear. And, you know, every time I have a conversation with just others individuals in the industry that have been in this industry longer than I have, it's always just so enlightening to know that this industry is what it is. We're willing to help one another when we can. We're always want to be there for one another. And I just love to be a part of it and hear that. So, I mean, just an amazing show today. I'm so happy that we had Renee and Shelly on. Those guys are so funny, don't you think? They're just hilarious. We talked a little bit about the Renee and Shelly show, but if you guys get a chance, if you're on socials, check them out. They're hilarious. But also check out the episodes and all the resources that Honk has to offer on our socials at Honk for Help. That's on Instagram and on Facebook. You can also check out these episodes and all the other past episodes that we've done of Get Hooked at www.buzzsprout.com/1100750. Again, that's www.buzzsprout.com/1100750. Make sure you like, you subscribe, so you guys can always be in the know on any new episodes.
Leave comments on our social media pages too, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. We want to know what you guys want to hear out of future episodes. What do you guys want us to talk about? What are the topics really facing the industry that you want to hear? Maybe we can find some experts that can get you some answers to some questions. And really, your feedback helps us develop the show into something we want it to be.
And as always, be sure to get hooked.